As you begin your ministry training, you have to ask yourself something about the economics of staffing. Ooh, the economics of staffing. What's that about? That's right. Like, you know, you are a volunteer, you're part-time, you're full-time. What's your dream? What are the opportunities afforded in your community? I mean, you may say, I want to be a career ministry leader, but those opportunities aren't necessarily there for you, but you still have that call of God. So then you ask yourself, Lord, is there a role for me? Well, we're going to talk today about the ministry staffing models. Now, the key goal, remember this, and this is the key goal of Christian Leaders Institute, connected to Christian Leaders Ministry, connected to Christian Leaders College, connected to the Christian Leaders Alliance. The key goal is to train and empower Christian leaders to bring a stronger, more vibrant Christianity everywhere. Christian Leaders Ministry, that includes the Institute, the Alliance, the College, can provide more leaders with training and ordination opportunities to help raise up more Christian leaders everywhere. So, I want to talk about firefighters. So, in the United States, fire departments mobilize teams of trained and certified fire departments and firefighters. The number of services needed primarily determines the staffing models for fire departments. In towns and rural areas, the firefighters are volunteers, so it's a volunteer fire department that serves the needs of those communities. Fewer people and buildings, less demand for firefighter services. In cities, a career type of staffing model is more necessary. More people and buildings, more need for firefighting services. Now, let's talk about the non-paid volunteer firefighters. Okay, so volunteer fire departments are the bedrocks of fire and rescue services. Throughout the United States of America, a vast number of fire departments are volunteers. Many fire departments are completely volunteering with no one getting financial support beyond any incurred expense. The firefighters in these types of departments have other careers that support the needs of their family. And let's apply this a moment to ministry volunteers. Volunteers are the backbone of many ministries. Without faithful volunteers, churches and nonprofits would be unable to provide the services they offer. Volunteers can serve homeless ministries, prison ministries, church outreach programs, chaplaincies, volunteer chaplaincy, pastoral care, small group leaders, and many other ministry roles. So, the large amount of volunteer ministers in the world is incredible. And you don't need to be paid, just volunteer in ministry. There's also in firefighters, bivocational firefighters. Bivocational firefighters also are considered volunteer fire departments. In these fire departments, the firefighters are paid part-time salaries that will actually be reported as income for services completed. The firefighters in these types of departments have other careers that support the needs of their family. Bivocational ministry leaders. Many Christian leaders serve in part-time ministry roles. They have a career that supports their family. They also dedicate time to ministry. For example, an elementary teacher might also be a worship leader or secretary of a local church. Then there's the vocational or career firefighters. At a career fire department, all the firefighters are staff and they are full-time personnel. Chattanooga, Tennessee, for instance, has a more dense population. This fire department has staffed and mobilized a team of fire and rescue professionals who usually receive full-time salaries. So now let's apply this to ministry training staffing. Christian leaders are called into full-time vocational ministry. I, for instance, went to Calvin Seminary, and most seminaries and Bible colleges, It is for the career ministry leader that much of the training occurs. So I went 4 years to Dort College, 4 more years to Calvin Seminary with internships, and I started out in the Christian Reformed denomination, and there was an existing church base, and there was a group of people with the critical mass necessary for me to be a career ministry leader. So, Christian leaders can be called and are called into full-time vocational ministry. Examples of this would be the role of a senior pastor. That's what I started out in my 1920s, or in, when I was in my 20s, I should say. 1920s, that's a long time ago. Could be a church planter. In my first position, our denomination supported a fund that paid for church planting, and I participated in that. Could be a chaplain at a hospital. Many seminaries have chaplaincy programs that go through an extensive amount of training. In some traditions, it's the apostolic bishop. There are also churches that have the resources to support many career roles. In Florida, when we're down there, we are part of Harborside Christian Church, and what you see there is a homegrown model of raising up career ministers. So now let's pull this together. So firefighters and Christian leaders. Firefighters, regardless if they are volunteer, part-time, or full-time, the training program for all three statuses is extensive. Whether the firefighters are full-time, volunteer, the stakes are too high for firefighters to be fully trained. The stakes are also too high for ministry leaders to be poorly trained. So whether they are volunteer, bivocational, or vocational, they need to have sound doctrine as they witness for Christ and bring revival to their communities. You know, and this really makes a lot of sense. And you can see that in the history of the Christian church. Historically, the growth of Christianity has risen with volunteers, bivocational, and vocational Christian leaders. Each local church or ministry has had different combinations of volunteers, part-time, and career Christian leaders. The church grew, reached people in every rank and in different demographic and cultural locations, aided by a staffing operations system that adjusted to the local missional need. Now, what am I talking about? This is what I'm saying, is if there were very limited resources, the call of the Holy Spirit to raise up leaders, some are called to be prophets and teachers and so forth, it's a volunteer model. But as the church grew and churches were planted, more and more there was the opportunity for people getting part-time salaries and then career full-time salaries. There were challenges to rapid growth, and this system of volunteer, part-time, or full-time understanding of staffing connected to even some of those challenges in interesting ways. So the early church multiplied, especially with people of lower ranks in the Roman Empire. The church proliferated without a defined canon of Scripture. Think that through. The Bible, the New Testament, for instance, came together after a couple of centuries of sort of talking about what were the apostolic writings, and a decision was made of what the New Testament was about. But in the very earliest part of Christianity, there was a sense of these are the sacred books, but it wasn't yet defined, and there was debate. The church proliferated without a defined canon of Scripture. There were not clear doctrines about positions like the Trinity or the person of Christ. Also, the underlying message of Christianity was introduced quickly by different leaders who emphasized different perspectives, such as Jewish or Gentile. The personality of the Apostle John was very different from the nature of the Apostle Peter. Therefore, there were misunderstandings and synchronization, meaning mixing of local beliefs and practices. There were doctrinal differences in the early church. Even in the time of the Apostle Paul, Christian leaders like Apollos showed up. He had holes in his doctrine. He only knew about Jesus from one of John's the Baptist's disciples. He was teaching about Jesus with incomplete knowledge. Priscilla and Aquila gave him ministry training to update his doctrine. We see about this in Acts 18, verse 24. I'll read that a moment. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man and with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So you really do see how in the early church, the launching of Christian leaders wasn't necessarily a cut-and-dried curriculum. Things, through the power of the Holy Spirit, were coming together with those early leaders. Now, in that process of these challenges, ministry training models started to develop, and critical mass. The church was becoming larger, and the career ministry leaders were becoming more prolific and more pronounced. And what started to develop was the clergy-laity distinction. As Christianity spread, a centralized church order of hierarchy developed. By the mid-200s, so this is the 3rd century, the career priests and bishops were the clergy, and the volunteers, including the deacon ministers and other church volunteers, were the laity. And it started to develop between the career were more the ordained and the laity were the unordained. It started out that women were ordained as deacon ministers, and as later times had it, they were considered part of the laity. So you do really see that there is a shift occurring in history between clergy and laity distinction. Alan B. Wheatley wrote a book about patronage in the early church. He notes that the career clergy became the key patrons of the church. He wrote, "The clergy have clearly become the holders of the patron role, or a greatly enlarged brokering role. The function of the people of God has become much less active with regard to God's favor in the world and more dependent upon the clergy." And this is what happened in the early century, and he writes about how this historical phenomenon occurred in the church. The latter had become the newly exclusive brokers of both spiritual and material benefit. With this enlarged power and authority has come an enlarged honor, which is no longer given to all humanity and is even reduced within the community, with newer believers and women placed in a marginal position relative to the men and the clergy. The vision of the new paradigm, and he talks about this in his book, about the servant paradigm, a community of broad-scale endowment and benevolence, had become rather vague. Now, he wrote this long book about patronage and so forth, and he said how when Jesus came, he really said, to be great, you must be the least. To be great, you must be the diaconess and the servant. You must serve the Lord, serve your fellow human. And that there was a concept of, in the early church, that there was not a blurred clergy and laity distinction, that they were all ministers. But what he says is true. More and more, the career ministers became the clergy, and the volunteers, non-ordained, became just volunteers, the laity. So, having said all that, what does this discussion have to do with today? By the time the Christian Bible was established, so we're talking in the 300s, a ministry training system had developed in the church that bore much fruit. Christian leaders like Augustine and others addressed the needs of a rapidly expanding church that had stood the test of time. The church education system around that time shifted from house churches, volunteer ministers, bivocational ministers, and shifted to more the career ministry ordained clergy. So, having said that, what does this then have to do today as you are now on the ministry training journey? Well, we can go back to, like the fire departments, we can go back to a robust, open for opportunity type of ministry staffing model that includes volunteer ministers, part-time ministers, and career ministers. Not one is better than the other. And they all need amazing training. So here are some conclusions by which we can conclude this presentation. First, high-quality training has not been accessible until now to all of the different types of ministry calling in terms of staffing. So right now, through Christian Leaders Ministries, Christian Leaders Institute, and through Christian Leaders College and the Alliance, now a large amount of opportunity is given, no matter where your calling is. With the invention of the internet, formal ministry training is opened up to anyone who has access to the internet. So that's a powerful implication of how the Holy Spirit has opened up the door for ministry training for you. Second, this access opens up the possibility to blur the line between clergy-laity distinction. It opens up new possibilities to train called Christian leaders for volunteer or part-time roles. They can become ordained as ministers with the same type of training career ministers receive. So at Christian Leaders Institute, this is a high-quality training that will give you the essentials and more advanced training to be a credible, to be a spirit-filled, to be a knowledgeable Christian leader in today's world. Third, local churches and ministries will be blessed by well-trained and ordained. If you need ordination, Christian Leaders Alliance, connected to the Institute, can give you a credible local ordination where you get recommendations and you get mentorship and encouragement locally, become ordained locally, first as a minister deacon, a deacon minister, actually we call it. And then there are roles. After you complete training, you can take that ordination and be commissioned in roles as a minister. Again, with the clergy and the laity distinction blurred, so you're just a minister. Like a local firefighter, it's just a firefighter. And this volunteer local firefighter is getting the training needed to put out fires. Now, many of them who go into volunteer firefighting love it, and they have gifts for it, and they get training, and they can become hired, and maybe they want to make a move to like a place like Chattanooga, and now they can do part-time or full-time, in that case, in Chattanooga, firefighting. And that's how the Christian church works the best, where the model depends on your calling, depends on where you're at. In these developing nations, for instance, there's less and less support from the Western, more wealthy Christians to do mission projects in other places, where there's a developing sort of Christianity happening within developing countries. So there's volunteer models that are absolutely necessary, and the training ought to be just as good as training that occurs in places that are predominantly career. But even in places like the United States and Europe, where traditionally the career model has been dominant, really, there are so many people to reach. Even there, we need a prolific, I believe, volunteer, bivocational, and career model. But the volunteer and the bivocational need that shot in the arm with excellent training. So, Christian Leaders Institute is here for you to help you take your next step so that you can become trained, whether you're a volunteer ministry leader, whether you're a bivocational leader, or whether you are a career full-time ministry leader. And I pray that God blesses you. And you may start out one way, and then as time goes on, opportunity arises and you become a career ministry leader. But whatever that is, you can get the training here to take your next step on a ministry path that reaches more and more people. May God bless you as you study here at Christian Leaders Institute.